This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
So it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, the clip of the day, of course, is from the Protect College Sports Act congressional hearing today. And Michael, we just found a couple of short clips, and it can be none other than probably the man who should perhaps become the Roger Goodell of college sports, and that is the former multiple national champion winner, Nick Saban.
What a horrible year. And we have nothing to control agents. We have nothing to control tampering. You know, Clemson had a player that was on campus for a whole week, and they come and got him off the campus and took him someplace else.
I mean, yeah, it's happening, Mike. It's even happening to Nick Saban.
That's not happening, Brady. That's good, clean fun.
What else did Nick have to say?
Let me give you the history. My first year we had collective at Alabama, $2.7 million. Next year, $7 million. Next year, $10 million. I retired. Next year, $17 million. Next year, $24 million. Now you have schools that have close to $40 million rosters. So if we continue to do that, we're going to lose Olympic sports. We're going to lose non-revenue sports. We're going to lose scholarships. And basically what's going to happen is you're going to have football and basketball succeed, and we'll have club sports for everything else.
One of the questions I have, and it's dumb, and we have our own answers for this because it's an obvious one, but one would think if you just arrived from planet Neptune and got here and you're going, wow, they're getting more money, how is that going to hurt other sports? Because aren't they, with more money, wouldn't they just be able, well, the problem is they're not doing that. They're giving it to football and they're giving it to men's basketball because they have to keep fueling the beast that's fueling the beast. So they're not going to take, you know, he said there are 2, 10, 20, 40 million now in the collective, whatever that is now. They have to keep putting more and more money in because the schools that they're competing against are doing the same thing. But Michael, here's the scary thing. According to Yahoo Sports and Ross Dellinger, the SEC and the Big Ten, soon, coming to theaters near you, could be up $40 million per school compared to the other ones. Like, all SEC and Big Ten schools could be up $40 million over their counterparts in the ACC, the Big 12, and the entirety of the G6.
As a fan of one of those Big Pac schools, I have no problem with this whatsoever as long as it benefits my team.
Well, that's why the Big Ten and the SEC are like, these rules you're creating, all these things that you're trying to do, they don't apply to us because we're the ones that are carrying this thing. Wrong or right, right or wrong, it's the truth. The SEC and the Big Ten carry all the clout. What they decide goes. And that's not right. But it's like I say about NIL, Michael. You let it go on too long. The allowing conferences to just go out and about and do their own thing, you're ultimately going to get certain conferences, certain teams, just flat out pull away. Now you might say, well, Brady, that's free market. Good for them. They're out doing their thing. That's not what keeps it ultimately competitive. If the NFL was doing the same thing, And it was just, we're going to reward the main teams, the Dallas, the biggest teams, like the biggest market teams, the Dallas Cowboys. They get to go do their own thing. Their division gets to come up with their own TV contracts, which would mean the lesser teams in their divisions would never really grow. And that's where the NFL has just been so good about this. And most professional leagues, I mean, Major League Baseball has their issues too with no salary cap, and they're trying to work on some ideas around that. But you're seeing it a small sample size at Major League Baseball, where there's five or six teams that are just really rich. Because, I mean, imagine if the Walmarts really did own the Rockies. Like, if they full-on owned the Rockies, they'd be as competitive as the Dodgers.
My problem with that argument in baseball is, well, the Brewers didn't have a lot of money. They were at the bottom half, and yet they made it to the World Series. The Dodgers bought baseball, but like, you still have to play.
You still have to play. We've seen, even in the NFL, you had the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember the Dream Team? When they said that they were the dream team because they just had that year that worked up perfectly with all their contracts where they could just overload and go buy a Super Bowl. And they actually weren't very good. So it doesn't always work out that way. But in college, the SEC and the Big Ten, that's what? 30-plus teams, 35 teams, 34 teams, Mike, that are all the Dodgers. So, I mean, the chances of getting your fun stories, your underdog stories, are just not realistic.
I was doing some research into that, and I don't have the paperwork anymore, computer crash. But I was actually tracking how well teams were doing compared to how much they spent. And there's some correlation. Like, the Dodgers did really well, but the Yankees didn't do as well compared to what they were paying. They weren't buying wins. The Red Sox weren't buying wins. There were other teams that were not spending as much money and were getting wins. So I'd have to go back and revisit that from a couple months ago because I wanted to prove Tanner wrong. But it's very interesting if you look into the number of wins versus the active roster pay.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
no.
The Rockies were in last place, and they weren't the team that spent the least.
True. I mean, you could also, not money doesn't solve everything. You still have to have good management of your players, good managers that are coaching the game correctly. I mean, you still have to have all that. That's like when people say, being a head coach in the NBA is easy if you get a couple of superstars. It's actually very, very, very difficult to do that because you're maintaining so many different things.
It's easy to have sucky players and be head coach in the NBA because you don't have those big egos.
Yeah, texter here from the 970. It's interesting how Notre Dame fits into all this. Yeah, I was saying that same thing earlier. Their TV deal is gigantic, yet I don't see them joining the SEC or Big Ten. They don't want to. But this is why is Notre Dame all in with on this idea? They had their athletic director Bavakwa sitting right next to Nick Saban talking about all the issues that are plaguing college sports. But one of the missions for this Protect College Sports Act is to do a pool media deal, where it would allow the FBS as a whole to create their media deals and not let conferences go off and do their own thing. Well, that would hurt Notre Dame because they have their own TV contract, which is why they don't want to join a conference, because they already have the sweetest deal.
So many of their games were on NBC. I was a kid, and I could watch every one of their games because they were on NBC. It's a sweet deal for them.
They've had it forever.
But I think one thing that might change is, because, they weren't in the college football playoffs last year. So maybe they want more regulation.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they do. And here's the other question on Notre Dame. If the SEC and the Big Ten jump and do their own thing, would Notre Dame go? Or would they just stay here and They're not going to be able to do this anymore, though. If Congress is saying we want regional conferences, because I would think that independence would be the way of the dinosaur with this new. I don't know if there's any specific language on that yet, Michael, but I would imagine that that would be something that you can't do that either. If we're saying, hey, we're not going to have conferences get into these squabbles like we saw with the Mountain West and the Pac-12 anymore, we're not going to have conferences poaching other teams just willy-nilly anymore, and maybe the extreme is we're going to get back to more regional conferences, then what does that do to Notre Dame? Doesn't that make Notre Dame say, wait a second? Or are they joining? I mean, is Notre Dame actually coming at this from more of a good guy angle and saying, no, we want regulation? Because I would think the opposite.
If it were up to me, they'd be in conference number 9, which I currently have them.
All right, fantastic. I just don't know. That's my thought today was like, why is Notre Dame and why is their athletic director sitting right there front line? Because you can't, it's not a buffet. You can't just pick and choose some issues and say, yeah, we're all for, you know, legislation and government overreach, but not on this area. You can't just pick and choose. And I think that's where the SEC and the Big Ten got in trouble with this, Mike. They were all for it. Yeah, let's regulate it because we're tired of our guys getting poached. Oh, wait, that's going to screw our side up from poaching. And oh, wait, you're trying to mess with our TV deals? Never mind. We're not in. We don't like this. Oh, most of the NIL deals that you're turning away, you're actually going to do that? 75% of those deals that you're turning away belong to us? Yeah, no, never mind. We're not in on this deal. Watching this today doesn't give me a lot of hope, honestly. I don't know what the future really looks like for the NCAA, but it looks dark after, because there's just so many issues, Mike. Where do you start? This isn't the NBA, which is very easy, Adam Silver. Fix flopping. No, let's fix tanking. The NCAA is a lot more difficult because there's a lot of issues surrounding the destruction of college sports. And you could say it's NIL. You could say it's the transfer portal. You could say it's coaches leaving schools like Ole Miss to go to LSU before they even coach their playoff game. You could say regionalism out of sports has hurt. You could say a lot of those things. And you wouldn't be wrong. But where do you start? And that's the problem, is you have a bunch of teams and conferences that are like, yeah, we agree that this, and this is a problem. But that one, that's going to affect us too much. We're not in on that. And that's where we get into trouble, and that's why nothing gets done. 18 minutes after the hour, Keeling Me Softly coming up next with Sean Keeler. The Avalanche, they lost Chris McFarland, but Jared Bednar is sticking with the team. We'll get Sean's thoughts on that coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Want a free gift for Dad this Father's Day? Make sure he subscribes to the best podcasts in the state. Find KFK Podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfk.com. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man, the best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble, so we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
Wow, look at that, man. We must have had a good month here. The production upgrade is obvious. Joining me now for Keeling Me Softly, the one and only Sean Keeler with the Denver Post. How about that, Sean? How about that?
I blew your whole production budget for the year. Oh, on that
it's gone. Yeah, it's gone.
The Michael Bay treatment. I thank you. So can you send that to my wife? Because
yes.
She won't believe anything in that intro.
Michael?
Not a bit.
Michael, send that to me, please, and I will send
not
it to
Sean. Not even the ladies' man part?
Definitely not the ladies' man part. she would laugh. She's gonna laugh so hard. I don't think she's gonna look at me. She hasn't looked at me in a straight face anyway. But you have you've given me something for a good dessert talk right there, my friend. That's very kind. Well done,
Sean Keeler, of course, joining us. Hey, Sean, you're a bearded man, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Still got a playoff beard, even though there's no playoffs.
Do you? Now, of course, my beard is getting, hey, we're getting close. Six more games, and the Rockies are done with the 30-30, and I can shave.
Yes.
But I'm, you know, I think they, you know, if they win tonight, great. But it might be a couple more weeks still, I'm thinking. Beard oil, like that kind of thing, is that something that I should look into, or is that something you know anything about? Can you help me out there?
I look like Maxi Minor, so literally, or someone once described my aesthetic during the playoffs as chic homeless man. So I've never used oil. I barely clean it. I've got birds growing in the thing. It's just I have the most Colorado whiskers as Colorado can have. So I think you got to go all natural.
Hey, another question before we get into real stuff here. I can't stop messing with it. I just sit there and I pick at it and then I stroke it. It's driving me crazy. My wife has to act. We'll be watching TV and she just says, beard, please, because I'm just sitting there pulling at it. How do you do that, Sean? How do you keep from messing with the beard?
I gotta be honest with you. FCC rules do not allow me to discuss my stroking. I don't think anyone should be doing that.
I knew it was either going to be you or Michael that did something like that. That responded in that way. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Sean.
You teed it up. The White Sox are winning. I'm happy. Let's go. You know.
All right, Sean, my friend. A lot of people wanted the coach gone, but instead the general manager is gone for the Colorado Avalanche. Crazy day yesterday. Crazy week.
Yeah, we've gotten whispers it was coming. They've been talking, and when, you know, basically when Elliot Friedman gets hold of something, it starts to take on legs really fast. That's been in the works for a while. So it was just a matter of how much money they were going to put on the table in the case of Nashville and how quickly it was going to happen. Boy, it happened fast, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
They closed the deal with that dinner, I guess, Monday night in Nashville. And that's because we were wondering what was taking so long to have the end-of-season presser. There were two reasons. One, more family-related with Joe Sakic and friend-related with Joe Sakic. And then we were waiting on Chris. And I think they were waiting to see how this played out. And in the interim, it's played out where he's gone. So, yeah, it's not the one you had on your bingo card 10 days ago of, like, who's not going to show up for the presser. I'm going to throw you another one. I wouldn't be shocked. I might be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked if early next week we've got a Joe Sakic presser in and around a Jared Bednar extension. How crazy is that?
I was actually talking about it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you go, well, if it's not going this way, he's in a lame – the only thing that's of certainty is he's in a lame duck year. And teams and agents and coaches don't like lame duck years. So if you're not – so your Rubicon to cross was now. And I think it was last year. Because last year I wrote we've all written the – fire Jared Bednar column by now, hire David Carl. I mean, David Carl could wallpaper a room with the amount of fire Jared Bednar hire David Carl copy that's come out of various Denver newspapers and Colorado Springs newspapers in the last 18 to 20 months. But it's not happening. So I think that's a strange course. You talk about the multiverse. Now we're going down this path, but I could see a short year, 2 to 3 year extension to say, let's keep kicking the window. Let's kick the can down the road a little bit and see what we've got in the window. And then in 2 years, they're going to have probably, you would think, a new GM, at least maybe by the end of this year. You'd have a new GM, whether that's Andrew Cagliano, whoever. And then that guy's got to make a coaching decision. But I think Joe, I'd be surprised. Don't hold me to this radio audience while you're stroking your beard. I'm not sure. The next coach will be Joe Sakic's decision to make, but it won't be alone. And I think it's going to be a real interesting mark on who the next GM, full-time GM, is that way. And I don't see – I could be wrong. I don't see Joe rocking that boat right now. But, I mean, forever? No. But, again, yeah, in a walk year, I would – I think it would be more likely to extend him for two more years than to – you know, suddenly fire him tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. On the Chris McFarland thing, what was it specifically in Nashville? Was it the? I mean, obviously his role is not just general manager. Was it president of operations?
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy.
So I had made this comparison. I said, this is kind of like the Tim Connelly thing. And, of course, at Avs fans are like, there's nothing like that. Joe Sakic is gone. Even though after every hockey post I ever put, Sean, I write hashtag hockey guy, and nobody really seems to follow the rules. Obviously, I know what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of similarities. Connelly didn't necessarily get more power, but he got more money, and he's elevated, you know, whatever role with Minnesota. It's very similar.
Yeah, it is. The more money thing is the thing, because unfortunately, because this applies to the Nuggets too, the KSC narrative is there is an invisible, there's an unwritten salary cap in the minds of Stan and Josh Kroenke with their coaches, their general managers, their staffs, and their front offices. And if you cross it, I think everybody kind of. Although I didn't the Predators president say the Avs didn't make it easy? Yeah.
It was kind of like, no, wait, don't go.
Yeah, you know, Toronto didn't make it easy with two Nuggets GMs ago. The Wolves didn't make it easy. Yeah, they do. It's not an industry secret anymore that the Kroenkes don't pay for big money coaches and big money GMs. They don't. Joe Sakic is a unicorn in himself, right? Like he could have obviously, as the legend goes, he could have left the franchise on a number of occasions. But this is his baby. He is the Elway. He is the Jokic of the Avs, and so he feels as much a familial responsibility as he does a company one to this. So, but most teams don't, and Chris McFarland's most employees don't, and Chris McFarland certainly didn't, and it's a good opportunity for him. I think his legacy is complicated. You kind of had two reactions yesterday of that's not the guy they should have let walk. And yeah, I get that argument, and that's true. B, how much good did he do? And we don't know the ratio from behind the scenes of everything that was built prior to 2022. To getting that title, because Joe was the GM, he was his right-hand man. And then the weird arrangement of the last 4.5 years where Joe was his boss, but he had more day-to-day, and yet Joe had to sign off on probably the biggest stuff. That's always, again, speaking as a White Sox fan, that's kind of – those are always tricky, unless you really, really know, at least from the outside perspective, where the delineation of those power triangles or power duangles, whatever you want to call them, where that goes, where you've got somebody who's in that job and has historically been good in that job and has the kind of respect and gravitas that Joe Sakic has. So whoever is the next guy, again, if it's Cogliano, whomever, with Joe being there, you know, it's kind of like Elway being there. I mean, are you really, really in charge? I don't know. So, I mean, that's a thing down the line, and that's going to be a consideration for whoever takes his job, which they'll probably fill internally because it's KSC.
Yeah. Now, Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. The Jared Bednar stuff is fascinating, too, going back to that. Because it would be, you know, a lot of what you're hearing is, oh, Chris McFarland's gone. That's okay. We have Joe Sakic. And like you just outlined, we don't necessarily know. I mean, maybe it was more Joe Sakic than Chris. Maybe. But it would be kind of hilarious if Joe's the one that comes out and says, yeah, we're giving Jared Bednar a contract extension. All those people that are like, no, worry, we have Joe. Because I would imagine it's the same people that are like, get rid of Jared Bednar. That would be must-see television right there.
I have heard from the last 18 to 20 months so much it's hard to find a middle. Just we joke, it's hard to find a middle ground on Deion Sanders. It's getting harder to find a middle ground on Jared Bednar.
Yeah.
And those are two guys that could not be completely more different, right? Like, literally. And one guy has been infinitely more successful in the case of Bednar as a coach than Coach Prime has, frankly, to this point. And, oh, look at my record, Jackson. Fine, fine, fine. Anyway, not to go down that rabbit hole, but Bednar, it's sort of like, I you know, we joked about having a goalie away and a goalie at home, and maybe you start Blackwood away. I've decided now, because both these, it's one of those huge logical leaps where two completely discordant things can be true. Jared Bednar is, what is he, the winningest coach in franchise history. It's an excellent job in his decade. The regular seasons have been epic and unforgettable. You know, they've got two President's Trophies in that time, yada, yada, yada. And, yeah, and they won a Stanley Cup, which is hard to do and can be very random and very weird. But they've only done it once in 10 years with 2 to 3 Hall of Famers on their roster. Both those things can be true. So I've decided what the Avs need to do is let Jared coach the regular season and then, like, loan in Pete DeBoer or somebody else for the postseason and then figure out a way to activate Jared again come the next August. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was a joke. It's not something that happens, but that's the thing with him in the postseason is all the stuff that works. He might be the Marty Natchez of coaches. I think that's an 100-point scorer. This is an excellent 81-game player. This is an excellent 81-game coach who may not be cut out for the different rules and the different template that you have to have in the playoffs. And we say that knowing that he's got a ring. I think we say that wondering if that may be the only one he gets with this franchise. So I guess both those things can be true, and I guess you can say we'd rather live with a guy who's going to win us 50 to 55 games a year and we'll take our chances in the playoffs. I think they've decided that, and I think we all just keep yelling at them and waving our fists at them. I wonder if they've just decided that's what we are. We are the 90s Braves of hockey. We're good with that. We got our ring. We managed to beat the system enough once and got fortunate. You want to say lucky, but there's luck. Puck luck is a thing. We got fortunate enough once for as talented as we were to be as good as we're going to be over 10 to 12 years, maybe longer. You know, again, I think every window is open as long as Cale Makar is here and healthy and wants to go. So that's 27. That's like another 5-6 years. So you have this massive window open that may have a lot of 50-win seasons and may have another President's Trophy, but may only have one Stanley Cup. But I guess it's up to the fan base and it's up to KSC to decide if that's acceptable, if that's good. And I think they've decided. I think KSC, I think the fan base is still a little divided, although I get so many pro-Bednar emails, it's kind of not funny. But I think KSC has decided, yeah, Bobby Cox Braves, that's good enough. That's what we are.
Does it help stave off any of the criticism watching, like, Las Vegas winning last night, does that help at all? I've always wondered that for some fans that are just so far out, where it's like, yeah, you ran into a team that they made a crazy move at the end of the year, and it's paid off. They caught fire. Yeah, and how much does that change your view?
I mean, I have to be objective. I'm not. I obviously not growing up here and not being a fan. That's a better question for you and your crew. I don't know. I mean, if my rival, you know, White Sox fan, if the Twins win the World Series, would I feel better about that? No. I mean, I'm still going to hate who I hate. So I can't answer that as well as you could. You tell me.
I mean, think it does help,
it'll make Joe and I'll tell you what, it'll make Sakic and Jared justify it. They'll run right to that. Go, look, we're into the hottest team on the planet.
Yeah.
And like they, I think they've already said it was a buzzsaw, and we were not ready for the buzzsaw, admittedly, and we were hurt. It was a perfect storm of bad all at once. I think they're rooting for Vegas like crazy. It helps their narrative a ton.
Yeah, I'm not like 100% like, oh, Jared Bednar's the guy. I think I look at more of the contract. Like, you got 1 year left. And again, that also makes it more complicated because you don't want to do the lame duck thing, which you talked about to start the segment. But I am kind of more in that camp of if Las Vegas goes on and wins the cup, then I look at it and say, man, you're right there. You had the special season. You just happened to run into a team that maybe figured it all out at the right time. They peaked. Who knows how good they'll actually be next year, but they hit that peak. That was the hope for the Nuggets last year, was that, hey, we fire Malone and we hire Adelman, and there's some kind of new aura around the team, and they carry it on.
Dead cat bounce. Yeah, you get that dead cat bounce for 2 months is a theory. And in a playoffs, there is hardness random. The NHL is more random than the NBAs are, but I think that's an applicable theory in both cases. I think the thing, and I got into this in the column you could read now at DenverPost.com.
It's great stuff.
Tell your friends. It's there. It should be up there somewhere online. But, yeah, it's – the other thing is, and this is a point that we've talked about on air, and I raised it again, is at this point right now, if you fired Bednar tomorrow, who are you going to get that's better? Like, you'll get a lot of people who are different.
Right.
You get a lot of voices that are louder or more unique or more, maybe have a better power play. Knock on wood, it'd be hard. But who are you going to get who's better? And the problem I keep running into, because I go back and forth with this, because we do all the knee-jerk reactions, they get eliminated. Last year, I think, was still more painful than this one. I mean, that's a great debate, which hurt more, given that you got farther. I've come around to last year hurting more because of the way it happened in Game 7 with Mikko's involvement, and it was kind of a Greek tragedy in kind of a sports way, how that all kind of, to the Christopher Nolan movie, got twisted weird. Or M. Night Shyamalan, it just got twisted.
Mm-hmm.
This was dark in different ways, but almost kind of more unexpected. Like, what the hell? How did this? Especially because it went so fast, and they were 8-1 in those first 9 games, and then just hit a wall. Other than David Carl, who by all accounts is not just not looking at the Avs, but not looking at the NHL period right now, for a multitude of very valid reasons, or Bruce Cassidy, who's being locked up in a dungeon literally by the Knights and not allowed to touch anybody, who's literally the best coach out there and has a title to his name. If it's not one of those two guys, who's better? Like, who's better than Bednar right now? And I think it's nobody. And that's the other problem. Or in the case of Joe, the defense of why he'd be back.
Yeah, no, great. Well said, Sean. Excellent work by you again in the Denver Post. We're up against it, my friend, and we'll, as always, look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, thanks for the intro. Enjoy your beard.
All right, my friend. Six more to go. Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, word goes round. There's certain media members around the Denver market talking about the Dirty 30, Mike. Yeah, it's a great thing.
Yeah, they saw my tweet.
That you don't tweet, man. The last tweet you tweeted was, I love Van Wilder or whatever he is. Yeah, man, I'm your biggest fan.
No, it was I was tweeting at him because I wanted a Darkwing Duck reference in Deadpool 2.
That's better
than
what I said.
That did not happen, but there was one.
Yeah, what you said makes you look cooler. My bad.
There was one in a Deadpool comic.
Uh-huh. I should have left it alone at Van Wilder, buddy. You know, have some respect for yourself.
Darkwing Duck is a great cartoon.
Yeah, when I was like 7, it was fine.
Yeah, I watched the first 4 episodes a couple years ago, and I'm like, oh, I didn't have standards as a kid.
Well, that's kind of part of why we're doing this sports movie review thing, Michael. Because Lord knows there's a lot to talk about, but, you know, people need to hear our thoughts on movies that came out 20-plus years ago. It's fun.
The last one sucked.
It didn't suck. It did. For Love of the Game.
Was not good.
Does not suck.
The skeleton of it was great. It needed a new heart.
No, it was fine. It was fine. I was going to bench it, not cut it, bench it, but I started it because you were so terrible with it. You changed me. So we're doing whatever. Got to do my new thing. I've been practicing. Therapist really needs some help on this one. Varsity Blues on Friday. You've never seen it.
I have never seen it.
If you would spend less time watching cartoons and putting together Star Trek space toys, you could actually watch great movies. I'm curious to see if Varsity Blues holds up in my mind. I'm curious.
I bet it doesn't.
I mean, I watched it a lot. Anytime it was on, I watched that. It was good. It was definitely a starter in my mind as I'm visioning it right now. But will it be? That's the question. So review it with us, Hooligans. I want you to watch Varsity Blues. Where can we find it, Mike? Figure that out for me, buddy. All right, we'll take a quick break. What do we learn? Coming up next, if anything.
Cascadia. Business updates. The latest in the local and national political scene. And local sports. Hear it all on Good Morning NOCO, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this, what is it, Wednesday? Third day of June. Michael, we learned that in order for this Protect College Sports Act thing,
they need my help.
They definitely do not need your help. They're doing just fine screwing it up on their own. I don't disagree with a lot of the bullet points there, but
it's the government.
The
and
SEC and the Big Ten make valid arguments as to why some of the deals on the table, especially the pooling of the media rights deal, is just awful. We also learned that Patrick Surtain's probably not going anywhere, man. I know he's already locked up, but he's even more locked up. And the Avs are rolling with Jared Bednar. And Keeler, like me, thinks not only will they not fire him, obviously they're not, they might give him a contract extension. What a world we live in, Michael. What a world. And the Rockies are six dubs away. Can we get down to the final countdown tonight? Final countdown is five. Final countdown is five.
The final countdown. Dun, dun.
All right, that's good. Rockies on KFKA tonight. Let's get win number 25 for the crew in purple.
Let's see a ball bounce off someone's head again.
That would be awesome. Good job, TJ Rumfield. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.